He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm thankful to the Lord for that. I don't want to forget to thank the sisters what the Lord put in their heart to do. And all of them, Sister Mona, Sister Provencio, Sister Nancy, and Lisa, they were out here pulling weeds out. And I appreciate that for what the Lord put in their heart. Sometimes you can't do so much and no more. And you, when you see a little help, you kind of help it by standing there and says, Lord, thank you for opening the minds of the sisters, because it reflects what we are, you know, the people that drive outside, you know. So I'm thankful to the Lord for what the Lord permitted them to do, and I pray so the Lord would just bless them abundantly. There was a tape, and probably you'll be reading many articles, the Lord's willing, the next two, three years at least, if the time tarries. Brother Branham was speaking in the Full Gospel Business, man, and I remember it was just a little breakfast we had, and I was there. There were about 15 or 20 people, and Sister Jessie Williams had a little tape recording in her lap and was recording the service, and Brother Branham was speaking about the dispensations of time. And he said the first 2,000 years, we have the flood. The next 2,000 years, we have the coming of the Lord, was Christ was born. And the next 2,000 years after that, we are aiming to millennium. And he discussed the different calendars, how close we are to the coming of the Lord. And I don't remember the tape. I think that the dispensation of time or something, I don't remember the exact title. It's not a very clear tape, but it's clear enough to understand. Because I believe God permits now for the cup of iniquity to be full. There's nothing left. And I'm not against women or men in any way, but we know the place of the sisters is not in the working places, but it's at home. We know that. And society forced each thing to happen. And the rulers of the kingdom of Satan, that's the politicians, are moving that direction to destroy everything. And we, last, I think, week or yesterday sometime, the paper was saying how the woman can do a better business decision than the man. Sure they do, because it's a woman's world right now, you know. But that's a big sign of the coming of the Lord. And I like to say that we live so close to the end that it's scary. That's all I can say. It's scary. We are wrapped up in a form that we call religion or message or Christians or whatever it is, but the life of it's supposed to be manifested in our lives daily, isn't it? Every day, because we're at that time. I'm praying so the Lord will just guide me. Next weekend I'll be gone for 2 days, 2.5 days. If I can get a flight back late Sunday night, I'll try to get down there to come back. But I pray lately and I say, Lord, help me. I don't want to get wrapped up with anything unless it's you. It's so easy to get involved with things. It sounds religious, sounds so good and so well as a Christian, but unless it's God's will, you don't know where to go or what to do. You just don't know. And I pray so that God will lead me and remember me in prayer. I have a schedule there for you in November when I'll be gone a couple of Wednesdays. I asked Brother Brian or Brian, whatever you want to call the brother, I asked Brother Brian to feel free if any Wednesday, instead of playing tape, he wants to minister, to feel free to do so. I believe we have total confidence in Brother Brian. You know, I cannot point my finger to his life, period. That's all I can say. And the Lord has blessed him with Lydia. You know, I look at them this morning, I just look at these two. One comes from Europe, the other from here, and they look alike, they walk alike now. So, God bless both of them there. We love them, right? We love them. That's all I can say. Remember the absent body, Brother David? had to work this morning, so remember him in prayer and his family. His young daughter, you know, the young generation is facing problems that we never faced them before. They see things that we never saw them before. And all these things are registered in the human mind. And we don't know what Satan is going to try to do to destroy one or another, one way or another. And that's why I should remember all of them in prayer, going to school. I'd like to get right to my subject. I was talking about Pentecost, and we play the tape, questions and answers on the Holy Ghost, because I believe the Pentecostal experience, it's not because you spoke in tongues or you didn't speak in tongues. It's according to Ephesians, and that grieve not the Holy Spirit by which you have been sealed until the day of your redemption. That sealing that we're talking about is not a stamp that you put upon somebody. It's a work completely that you are mine. And I was studying, and I mentioned that word before. That's not a seal. It's the engagement. The Holy Spirit engages you with Jesus, and then you wait for the wedding supper. And I hope and pray, I'd like to see one soul receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost at this hour. The genuine Spirit and a genuine salvation. And this is my desire. I'm going to get today the book of Acts, the 10th chapter. And the 10th chapter there is probably the chapter that created lots of puzzle among many people. How God now permitted Peter to bring the Pentecostal experience to the Gentiles. For we know that the Pentecostal experience was given really to Paul to go to the Gentiles and to Peter to go to the Jew. But in this chapter here, we are facing certain things that I'll be moving kind of slow. I'll be giving you some references. If you start with the 10th chapter from the first verse, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion, and of the band called the Italian band. Now, this man there, that brother, should I say, Cornelius, his job was to be in charge of 100 men. Many historians wrote about that, that probably he was in charge of one of the Roman emperors there. And the man was very well known and very well accepted. And the scripture described him in the second verse as a man, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Even the denominational work, they have to admit that this brother here, Brother Cornelius, he had pulled himself away from the systems of the world. He had lost faith in Judaism. But he followed as much as he can the law of God. And the characteristics that God speaks about him was a devout man, one that feared God in his house and gave much alms to the people. He was a man, justified man. His heart was seeking God. And when a man's heart is hungry for God, God will show up. At the time of need, God is going to come over and visit you. If we think sometimes that God doesn't hear, God hears. Because here's a man that had no experience about the Holy Ghost or nothing. But God was dealing with him. And he prayed to God. Oh, you say now, some people say that, oh, he didn't have the Holy Ghost, he's no good. I beg your pardon, the scripture later on tells us, and a vision came to him on the third verse and on the fourth verse, and when he looked on him, he was afraid, and he said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for memorial before God. I like that because God heard his prayer. And no matter how you feel sometimes, pray, because God honors that. Say, Lord, I don't feel sometimes anything. You know, you pray sometimes and you feel nothing. You stay on your knees and you say, Lord, what can I pray? What? Just the idea that you let God deal with you and speak to you, it's a blessing before God. People think sometimes prayer is the time when you talk to God. No, I believe first the priority is God talks to you. Prayer is when you open your heart and you say, Lord, take everything. I'm here. Do anything you want with me. But prayer sometimes, it's true, we have to bring our requests before God. We have to seek God to help us. But sometimes people, what it will do, will have a list and says, now I'm going to pray for this, I'm going to pray for this, I'm going to pray for this. And when we stop and look, we never pray for the will of God. We pray for our wills and what God, what we want God to do. It's one-way traffic. And the greatest form of prayer is to be in touch with God that hears your prayer. And God will hear your prayer if you're in His will. And we think sometimes that I pray to God and God has to conform to my will. That doesn't work like that. God has to be the one that is pleased in order to answer us. Because I'm thankful to the Lord that God doesn't give us everything we ask. If God has given everything we ask, we would have been in problems. People think that the blessings of God is counted in dollars. I'll say the blessings of God is counted in a deep relation with Him, of an individual and God alone. That's what it is. And God now heard the prayers of this man, and He gave him a vision. And when the vision stopped, all of a sudden, He started thinking about Peter. Now remember, this brother here, Cornelius, was a Gentile. And God is sending him to a Jew. And we can see now how Pentecost, it's moving from the Jew to the Gentile. Of course, we know that the Gentiles, they were considered to be the outcast. By the Jews, they were considered to be the heathens. There were two major groups in history at the time. The peoples used to say, if you're not a Jew, you're a heathen. The Greeks used to say, if you don't know Greek, if you don't study Greek, you're a heathen. You're a dog. And remember the woman says, Lord, even the dogs. She wasn't a dog. She says, Lord, even the dogs, as Gentiles. And the distance was so much there, the separation. And I believe that somehow God brings Peter to his understanding about doing something. Cornelius, who was a Roman captain now, had an invitation by God to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Isn't it beautiful? God look at him, He pick him up, and God look at you, look at me, He pick us up, and we had nothing to do with that, be picked up by God. This will make us rejoice in the Lord. This will make us say, Lord, you call me. I didn't call myself. I make many mistakes, but every day I want to press on. See, don't look at a mistake. The only thing you look at is that you have to get closer to God. Keep on moving. Keep on going. God will honor your desire to see Him, and He will give you that power. And when time comes that you feel that there's nothing we can do anymore, just look up to God. It's, Lord, I'm waiting for that power. I wait for the Holy Ghost. Renew my spirit. Renew me, Lord. Because in this world, you have nothing. And don't expect yourself, like we're going to see in this chapter, don't expect yourself to come to the altar and pray and everybody to shake you up in order to get the Holy Ghost. You can get the Holy Ghost while you read your Bible. Do you know that? You can get the Holy Ghost by praying. You can get the Holy Ghost by sitting right now in the pew. God can give you the Holy Ghost, and there's no location. God, forget about the location. God wants to deal with you and fill you with the Holy Ghost. So now Cornelius was a Gentile, and uncircumcised, and who, if you read the book of Acts, the 11th chapter, the first 3-4 verses, he speaks about after the Cornelius story there. Now, the description of this man, if you look at him closely, the first thing you're going to see, his characteristics was a devout man, a person that was given himself to divine worship and service. That's what it means. And I want to please God. And we have a lots of lip service. You don't worship God only by sitting and hearing a sermon, by singing a song. Everything you do, if you're doing it in the name of the Lord, you are worshiping God. Pulling out weeds in the name of the Lord. Says, Lord, I do my best for you. In the old temples, you know, the people were so excited to work at the temple that they had to have a big list who to get there to work. Because the people were proud about God. This is our place. This is what God has given us, the Jews used to say. Now, this man feared God, and the fear of the Lord, we know, is the beginning of knowledge. We read in Proverbs that. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. The man had the fear of the Lord. You know, it's not like you fear somebody's going to get you. I believe the whole fear there was, I don't want to transgress God's law. Whatever it takes, Lord, beat me up. Don't let me transgress your law. The holiness is so great. Lord, I cannot even look upon it. Lord, help me. I don't want to transgress you. I want to make sure that I'm close to you. I don't want to be a minute and feel your absence, put it like that. I want to be in contact with you all the time. That man gave a lots of alms, which what it is, it's giving to the people. It was very charitable. He gave to the synagogue. He gave to the poor. In one of the tapes Brother Brown speaks about, they wanted to find out, IRS, how come you deduct this? He says, well, he gave it to the poor. And I remember when I was in Louisville, Kentucky, around 6th Street down there, there's lots of bums there. I don't know what bums means, but people that are homeless and they have nobody. Some of them, they're executive men. They fail. They were sliding down, until you find them sleeping under the bridge. And none of us is stable. You know, God removes his hand out of us. We're all finished. That's all. You know, God knows how to put you up, how to take you down. So give honor to God all the time for what you have. And he, Brother Branham, used to go over and testify to them, give them a dollar or something. And all of them know him downtown. That's what I have learned. And when he died, everybody, you know, just about crying down there. He says, Bill is gone. Bill is gone, they used to say. And also, he prayed to God always, a man of prayer and devotion. If you want to find out what prayer means, it's a sweet smell in the throne of God. That's what Revelation describes to us of prayer. It's an odor, a beautiful odor that comes to the prayers of the saints before God. Now, this man, of course, God has called, and now he wants to bring him into contact with a man by the name Peter. We know the history of Peter. Peter was a quick man to draw the gun. Pull the knife, cut the man's ears, you know. Cursed the Lord, but he still was a chosen vessel because there was something in him. Think of it. To me, to curse the Lord, it means something in me that I will never recover. That's all I can say. I cannot recover to say something like that. But here was the chosen vessel, and God's predestination, God's foreknowledge, calls now this man, Brother Cornelius, and he says, I want you to get the Holy Ghost, with other words. The man was hungry. The man separated himself away from all these traditions. And he wasn't saying that he was favored to the high priest at the time or nothing. But he prayed to God. He feared God. All these characteristics of a true believer. Now, on the other side, we have Peter. Now, send these two together. And Peter, of course, we know that in the book of Galatians, Paul got after him because he was a compromiser about circumcision there. But God, of course, we know that Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. He went up to pray. And after he finished prayer, we don't know how long he was fasting, but we see that he became hungry, and they made ready. He fell, he says, into a trance. They were getting ready now to eat, and all of a sudden, Peter, like, pass out. What did he see there? He looked at these things. He saw in the 12th verse all kinds of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice unto him, says, "Rise, Peter," on the 13th verse, "kill and eat." Remember, this was unclean animals. But God tells Peter, eat. Because you consider the Gentiles non-clean, I'm going to give you a Gentile to pray for. It was total separation at the time. Peter in one side, this Gentile on the other side, and Peter knew nothing yet. He just sit there and see all these things, and God speaks to him, and he says, eat up from these things. And Peter says, "Not so, Lord. For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." You know, everything is sanctified by the Word of God. Everything. Some time ago, I had a few years back a conversation with a brother that he has preached here. He is a Jewish background. And he said, "I will never eat pork." I said, "Well, I will not eat pork because of health reasons, but not of religious reasons. Because everything you eat can be sanctified by the Word of God." Now, I remember we were sitting in one of the synagogues in Los Angeles, and Brother Bram was sitting that side, I was sitting here, and they serve us for the first time in a Christian synagogue. They serve us pork. Now, I don't recommend to eat pork because probably pork is not a clean meat. We know that. You know, it's not like a lamb or something. But God was showing to Peter something, that here is a Gentile that you think you are so super duper because of your descent, because you're a Jew, because you knew me, and so on. But now I'm going to send you a Gentile to receive the Holy Ghost. So God, like we're going to see later on, is not a respecter of persons. Whosoever you are, God is going to fill you with the Holy Ghost, he said. God call you, believe in God, and God will fill you with the Spirit. He's not a respecter of person. What do you mean with Brother David? Cornelius, of course, prayed, was not given to God his prayers in vain. But listen to this, but God answered by a vision to him, which was an answer of his calling. And in Exodus 33:12, we read this, "I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight." God knows you. He knows your name. He knows you by your name. And when God called you to come out of the world, he knew you, what you are. He knew your up and downs. Like Brother Gordon prayed this morning, he knew your mistakes, your faults, and everything else. But you know, there are some big questions in my mind. I'm not talking about voluntarily. I'm talking sometimes if God doesn't permit sometimes for us to be kicked around a little bit by the devil so we can appreciate the grace of God and the blood of the cross. Because we can become familiar and forget about it. You know, familiarity. So, but when you fail the Lord and you say, "Lord, the blood, Lord Jesus, where are you?" Then you realize that you run somewhere to the Lord. Because you can become so familiar. You say, "Oh, you are saved now. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to worry about anything. Do anything that you want to." But that doesn't work like that. Paul says we cannot continue in sin so that the gift of grace may be abound. We have to go on with the Lord, be dead in Christ daily. And God has methods to protect us, all of us. And here he gives to Peter something that Peter had a hard time to accept it. He says, "No, Lord, I'm not going to do that." Of course, we can see in the scriptures that he knew nothing about what was going to happen. And when he said, no, Lord, he says, and the voice spoke unto him again for the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. If God forgives your sin, if the blood of Jesus can clean every nation, every race, and everybody from their sins, who are you or me to stop them from receiving the Holy Ghost? The next step we have to do to say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. I want that power, because without the Lord, you don't know what you're doing. That's all. You know that? You don't know what you're doing. You're in His mercy. I was sitting talking to a man Thursday, and all of a sudden, I had a muscle spasm in my back. I felt something moving until I was in pain. I couldn't move. I froze right there. And I didn't lift anything. I was just sitting talking to a man. We are all of us depending upon the grace of God and the mercy of the Lord, and don't take nothing for granted anymore. Now, with other words, God now starts showing to Peter, listen, what I have forgiven, don't get in the middle, Peter. There's a job for you to do. And we know now that on the 17th verse, and while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the man which was sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. You know, we like to have an interpretation of a dream or a vision, because we see dreams sometimes, and some of them are from the devil, some of them are from God. So you cannot rest on dreams unless God confirms to you the dream that's true. Because a dream can deceive you so much. What about if I dream for somebody that he's no good and so on, and the devil gives it to me, and then I turn my back to that man? The man probably is an ascended Christian, because I base my faith upon a dream. You cannot base your faith upon a dream. You have to base your faith upon God and His Word. So God now permit these things to happen. And they ask Peter now, he says, we are sent here from Cornelius. Then Peter went down to the man which were sent to him. And we know that Cornelius have sent them over. Behold, he says, I'm here. Listen how mysterious God's works. Cornelius in one side, hungry for God. He sent two men. We don't know why Cornelius didn't go there. He sent the two men there. They start talking to Peter and express the need that was in their area. And when you see God is working both ends of the line, Brother Bram called it, then you know that there's something going on there that you better pay attention. So we know how the two got together later on. And Peter started with the Word of God. It's very important to know that base your experience in the Word of God. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, go to Acts 2. And say, Lord, this book tells me you called me out and I was saved. This book tells me that's for me and to my children and to them that's far off. I'm right here standing. I need the Holy Ghost. Kneel next to your bed in your living room somewhere alone and pray for a while. Or come here and says, Lord, I want the believers to pray for me to get the Holy Ghost. Don't try to form yourself in how you're going to pray, but have an honest heart before God and say, Lord, here I am. What do you want me to do? You want me to stand on the pew? I'll do it. You want me to go in the front and be prayed? I'll do it. You want me to pray in my room? I'll do it. So don't try to frame of how God is going to work. Be open. And have your mind in one direction. Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. That's what I want. That's it. When I get up in the mornings, Lord, here's another day. Keep me. Lord, I need the Holy Ghost. I don't have the power. Probably you have been drifted a little bit away. The devil beat you up. Lord, restore that power upon me. I want to experience the power of the cross in my life. Give me the, renew that Holy Ghost in my soul, Lord. Help me, Jesus. I want to have the Holy Ghost. And keep on going on like that. And you know, in an unexpected way, God can fill you with the Holy Ghost. I believe God can fill you driving your car to go to work. I believe that. You know? So, don't set a formality what's going to happen. If you feel that the believers need to be prayed for you, ask them. We'll be glad to pray for you. But don't say, because they pray for me, I didn't receive it then, I don't have it. Probably God will give it to you by the time you get to your car. I don't know. So we frame God and then we get disappointed in our own frame. Leave God alone, not to have His way, to do whatever He wants to. And He knows how to do things. He knows how to fill you with the Holy Ghost. So don't worry about it. So keep on praying about that. Now, the first thing that he started, Peter, of course, opened his mouth on the 34th verse, said, "Of the truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." The first introduction. How do you like this for an introduction? He says, God is not a respecter of person. God does not discriminate between one person and another. Now let me say this. The discrimination between good and bad persons, it means that God does that. Separates who is good and who is bad. It depends up to us. But God does not discriminate a person or any nation because of race, color, or creed who fears God and worketh righteousness and acceptable before God. Three scriptures I want to give you on that. Read the book of Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter and the 17th verse, that God does not discriminate in any color, race, and so on. Deuteronomy 10:17, 1 Corinthians 12:13, and Galatians 3:28. So he started proclaiming his message. And after he's seen that vision, now he's very much familiar that God speaks to him. Whatever you think, Peter, about this bunch of Gentiles doesn't make any difference. It's my blood that cleansed them, and they are purified my blood, by my blood. Don't think about your sins. He says, Lord, I know I fail you. I have sinned. Would you forgive me? I tell you what, if you do that, you might as well go to your Bible and cross out that word A-L-L. That's just all your sins and all your iniquities. Because God forgives all of them. Man looks for something to criticize. God forgives. If all of our thoughts, the intents of the heart, the actions and everything were known this morning before us to be judged by each one of us, none of us will come to this assembly this morning. All of us will be running out. But God, you see, permits us to come together, we pray for one another to fight the battle the next day and keep on going fighting and fighting and fighting the devil. Now, after he starts talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ, watch what happened. He starts speaking to them, and how Jesus was anointed of Nazareth by the Holy Ghost, the 38th verse. When he comes to this 44th verse, and while Peter was yet speak these words, the Holy Ghost fell upon all of them which heard the word. What is that? No laying of hands? Nothing but by the word, right? And fall in upon all of them. We thought it was still Peter. Now look, Peter, it's none of your business to touch these people. Leave these people alone. These people are mine. You preach the word, and I deal with the word upon their hearts. And God dealt like that. And Peter started proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus and what Christ have done. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost fell upon all of them, the scripture said. All means there was nobody left. Don't you think if you were there, you'd get it too? God saves you. So keep on pressing on for the Holy Ghost. That's what we need today. The door is closing if it's not even closed. We are so close to the end that we play games with God. Or so close to the end that we see how far we can go and still call ourselves Christians. Ask for God to give you the power to reject everything. Let them go. Where can you go, tell me? In the bars? There's nothing there. In the world? There's nothing there. Except the only place to go is to Christ. And now, Christ, of course, permits something to happen. Peter was speaking, so Peter doesn't get the credit about the Gentiles. God did. God honors His Word. And if His Word says, it's promised unto you, unto your children, to them that's far off, as many the Lord has called, Lord, you call me to be saved, I want the Holy Ghost. That's it. And to you, young people, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you don't have to say, I do this and I don't do that. There's something in you that drives you to do it. I always like to speak sometimes about the pain of sin. A true Christian, when transgresses the law of God, cries and suffers. Why? Because he's a son of God. But he failed. To me, I don't look at that. I see the painful exercise of the person goes through to restore themselves back to God. Even if it was the devil, and that was the devil material, he will never put them in a state that they are seeking God so bad and feel terrible so bad. So I look always, what is the aim? The aim is God. And these people had one aim. Peter preached. They were right down there. The Holy Ghost fell upon them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. What teaches here? The first thing, don't look yourself for a big show in a big tent or a big church or small church. It doesn't make any difference. Look at the Word. The Word of God is the priority. Many people are looking for the Holy Ghost because they want to be shaken or speaking tongues. Look out for the Holy Ghost because of the Word of God is fulfilled in your life. That's it. And then you realize that Spirit that fall upon you and baptize you. Remember when I spoke about baptizing. It's not only just to dip, but to merge in there. When the Holy Spirit comes, that merges you in there, gives you the power also to be able to stand. What's the power? To fulfill the Word. Am I going to do any mistakes? Probably you will. But God is going to raise you up. Because God is God. And He will not let you down because you have been sealed until the day of your redemption. The rapture is at hand. And the big question is, how many of us have the Holy Ghost? How many of you think we got it? And what do you say, Brother Dave? I say, let's move one step closer to God. Restore that spirit that was in me once. Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. I want that power in me to overcome myself. Don't think about the power that you're going to shake everybody and kill everybody. Think about it, it's going to kill you. That's the greatest power to get. And God is going to honor these things. He's going to reward you for these things. These people were sitting, and we know that there were people on the 45th verse of the circumcision which believe were astonished there as they look what happened, as many as came with Peter. Because that of the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know, if we take in the daily language, you know what it will say? These Gentiles, the dogs, the heathens, are getting the Holy Ghost? Yes, they do. Because of the 34th verse, God is not a respecter of persons. God looks at the heart. People look at the color and where you're coming from. God looks at the heart. And you know what? Without the blood of Jesus, all our hearts are black. Dark. But it takes the blood of the cross to forgive us to go on with Him. They look around and say, were circumcised. Look at what happened. These people are getting the Holy Ghost. What's the matter? Is there anything wrong? God gives them a second evidence there. He says in the 46th verse, and they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, then answer Peter. Can we forbid water? With other words, let them be baptized. Now, there's different groups, denominational groups, and they don't want to accept that chapter. Do you know why? They say these people got the Holy Ghost and they were not saved. Because they were not baptized first. Listen, dear friend, let me tell you something. When you start looking at the Word of God, when you start seeing what God has done here, these people, were not baptized yet. But their faith was based upon God. What is that faith? You're not saved because you go under the water. You're saved because of the blood of Jesus. When God saves you, then when you are baptized, outwardly you confess what happened inside. And listen, these people were saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. And Peter says, who can stop them from being baptized? Now, people say sometimes, without being baptized into the water, you are not saved. Baptism in the water is salvation. It's not so. Because the life of the Word of God is on the blood of Jesus. It's not the life in any other place. That's how we are redeemed, by the blood of the cross. The Scripture says this, that He gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey Him, in the book of Acts. These people obey the Lord. They fear the Lord. They pray to God. God permitted for them to hear His word. And all of a sudden, you know, God pours His Spirit upon them. The Jews were looking around. So what's going on? How the UPC people can handle something like that, tell me today. That's the United Pentecostal Church, a big denomination. How they can handle it. You go there and you ask them, they ask you, are you baptized in Jesus' name? You say, no, sir. You are not saved. You ask them, I need everything that God has for me. You are lost. You are not saved. You haven't been baptized. Because they base the baptism on salvation instead of the blood of Jesus. That's exactly what UPC believes. And I'm not here to condemn any group. But here God is dealing with the heart. I know many people have been baptized and they live like the devil. That's true. Because God looks at the heart. Now you say, Brother David, then do I have to be baptized? The Word of God said to do that. But don't think sometimes, because somebody got the Holy Ghost, you take your little criteria and you say, I know they didn't have it. How do you know they didn't have it? Because they were not baptized at that time. They don't have it. Look here at Acts 10 in the case of Cornelius. So you move from the outside now to the inside. It says, Lord, what happened? In the heart of the person, without recognizing all these mistakes and so on, God looks at the heart, purifies the heart, cleanses the heart. What happened? They obey God. We know that that man was afraid of God. And Peter preached like in the day of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost comes upon them, fills them with the Spirit. And now Peter turns around, he says, can any man forbid water that they should not be baptized? Baptism in the water is not salvation. It's an outward confession of what God has done inside. Here, you see the Word of God being manifested. The Word of God has been proclaimed. The Word of God being fulfilled. His Spirit comes upon the believers. They obey God. The Scripture says He gives them the Holy Ghost to those that obey Him. In the book of Acts. They're filled with the Spirit. Now Peter says, what's going on? Can anybody forbid to say they cannot because they were not baptized? And he's the one that set the formula. Repent and be baptized and you shall receive the Holy Ghost in Acts 2. And He's the one that faces this issue. All people like to go to Acts 2. And then you're baptized in water. If it's my church, then you are saved. Somebody else's church, you are not saved. We faced that some time ago in Philippines. A man created a kingdom, had walls outside. You're not permitted to come in without coming through the guards. And after you come in, if you move from another church to his church, you have to be rebaptized because you are not baptized to his church. Let me tell you this, you are baptized in Jesus' name, nobody else's name. That's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you are baptized to. And I don't care where you have been baptized. As long as you are truly saved, you can be baptized in Cucamonga, in a swimming pool, in a bathtub, in the ocean, wherever you have been baptized, to me you have been baptized in Jesus' name. That's it. Finish with this. So in both cases now you can receive the Holy Ghost prior to baptism and after the baptism. You see? How? By listening the word. Listen to the statement here. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell up on all of them which heard the word. So these people were baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, you see, Brother David, the devil will come around and says, but you know something? Probably the time you were baptized, you might have been not exactly right. You'll never be exactly right in the sight of Satan. Do you know that? But in the sight of God, by faith, you do that and not by works. So you are baptized. The Holy Spirit comes and fills you with the Holy Ghost. And then you know what you do? He says, Lord, if I wasn't baptized right, if I wasn't saved at the time, then I want to be right, be rebaptized. But if you have been baptized and you were saved, that thing holds. You are baptized. Finish with it. Go on. Don't go back like Hebrews says to the baptism and these kind of things. Go on. Move on to perfection. Keep on moving. God permits us in many ways, and that's what I'm trying to approach, to realize that the baptism of the Holy Ghost can fill you at any place, at any time, if the state of your heart is right and you seek for it. Be hungry for it. When you have trials, sometimes you get up in the morning, you don't even want to get up, and you say, Lord Jesus, help me today. Have you ever done that in the morning without knowing you're doing it, but you say, Lord Jesus, help me today? Before even you wash your face or nothing. Why? You call upon the name of the Lord. Put the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your heart. It says, Lord, I want that spirit in me. Lord, I'm dying for it. My temper will be gone. This will be gone and this will be gone. Refill me, Lord, with the spirit. I need it so bad, Lord. And keep on thinking about the word of God. Lord, you said that. You know? I write in a little piece of paper. Put it in your little pocket there or in your purse. Pull it out. Lord, you see what you said in your word? That's what I want. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Put it back. Right? And he will fill you. Simple faith. Go on with him like that. The simplicity of the faith. And we know that these people were baptized, you know, and received the Holy Ghost as well as we. He says, what can hinder? I like that. Listen to what he says, the 47th verse, we're closing now. Can any man forbid water that those should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? With other words, now they are confessing. Remember, it says, now, as we, they were plural tense. They are confessing on the 47th verse what Peter preached on the 34th verse, who says, Peter says, open his mouth, he says, I perceive there is no God is no respecter of persons. With other words, God filled the Gentiles as we were filled in the day of Pentecost. I'm so glad for that, aren't you? You know, you look at the word of God and you can say, it is for me. That's it. You know, Gentile, Greek, Jew, Italian, African, no matter whatever it is for me. That's all that I know. So God's word is always confirmed. Now that mystery that Paul was speaking on Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, 5th and the 6th verse, the mystery was hidden for years. People say, Tell us the mystery of the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's right here. Who is it, Brother David? Christ in me, the hope of glory. You see, Christ, tell us about him walking and making the fish to multiply, the loaves of bread and so on. That's fine. Shows the power of God. But the greatest mystery is Christ in me, the hope of glory. That in me dwells he. He sealed me. I'm engaged with Jesus. And I'm ready to go. Why? Because in me there's something crying, Abba the Father. I want to be with him. He's my brother, the firstborn of many. I want to be with Jesus. Something inside burns you and burns you. And you get out in the morning, you open your eyes and say, Jesus, help me today. I want to go on. Protect me. The enemy's hitting me right and left. Praise the Lord for the word, right? So look what we try to do. We try to give you all the possibilities about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So when you look at these things, to say, hey, wait a minute. Devil, get out of here. I obey the Lord. If you say that I wasn't baptized right, and so on, Lord, show me that I'll do it right, but that doesn't hinder me from getting the Holy Ghost now because I want you. Stay with it. Write that verse like I said in Acts 2. Carry it with you at night when you go to bed. Read it once more. Lord, that's what you said. Here I am when I'm going to get it. You promised me. You know what? I believe 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, a little noise can wake you up or something, and you're sitting in your bed and God can fill you with the Holy Ghost before you know it. Right laying in bed. I have people like that happen to them. So don't start the doctrine of locations and putting the baptism before the Holy Ghost, because that UPC doctrine doesn't hold. I talked to UPC ministers. I said, why would you do that? I said, would you tell me one more thing at the cross? When Jesus said to that thief, today you will be with me in paradise, he cannot be in paradise because he wasn't baptized with water. It's his faith upon Jesus that saved him. And baptism is a confession only. You know, they twist the word of God so much that they put all kinds of heavy weights upon the people. Leave it simple. Say, Lord, I need a refill of the Holy Ghost. I don't really know what I want. I need something, and you know that I need something. You give it to me. That's all I can tell. And go on with him, and God's going to take care of it. Praise the Lord. I'm sorry that I've broken up sermon like that, but I'm a little bit in pain, so I'm suffering trying to get myself to go. Praise the Lord for all things. I'll be all right by the prayers of the people. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing that, O Lord, send the power just now. We'll ask Brother Gordon to close in a word of prayer. Amen. Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now. And baptize everyone.
And then Lord, we truly need your power this morning, oh God. And we thank you, Lord, that, Lord, your power is yet the same, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
On the day of Pentecost.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, as it was at the day of Cornelius,
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Lord, it is yet today, oh God. We thank you for your word, Lord. You're the same yesterday, today, and
hallelujah.
Lord, this morning we know we need thee, Lord. We need your Holy
Spirit. I do, Lord. I do.
Lord, we pray, Lord, that everyone receive it, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, when Peter yet spake, Lord, the Holy Ghost fell on all, oh God. Lord, we pray for the Holy Ghost to fall upon all here this morning, Lord. All, Lord.
Yes, Lord God, I'm looking for that.
Lord, we need you this hour, Lord.
I'm looking for that,
Lord. Lord, we need you this day, God.
Pour your Spirit.
Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your grace. You called us out, Lord.
Yes,
you
Lord.
You kept us by your power, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you have your way in our life, Lord. Lord, that the Holy Ghost truly, Lord, directs our paths, Lord.
Yes, Lord God.
Lord Jesus, we pray, Lord, that we would yield our spirit unto your Holy Spirit.
Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus.
Lord, we have need of you right now. We know we're living in the last days, oh God, in the lukewarm church age, oh Lord, but help us not to be found in that number, Lord. Lord Jesus, we have need of thee, oh God, this day. Lord, we thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Pray for your power to take
yes,
over our
Lord.
Lives, each and every one. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. May be dismissed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But remember, the people in prayer, we want to see some people receive the Holy Ghost. Amen? That's what we want. That's what we need. May be dismissed. Amen.